Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
Hey, this is Emily.
And this is Bridget.
And you're listening to Stuff Mom Never Told You. Today, we are tackling a topic that is pretty hot button.
Oh, it's hot right now.
I think. We are talking about Ivanka Trump's feminism, or what some people might call quote-unquote feminism. And I think this can be a dicey one. I think so many of us were optimistic and excited about the prospect of someone like Ivanka Trump, who in many ways, historically, has had all the, you know, underpinnings of a Manhattan liberal being involved in her father's campaign for president. It was like a bright spot amidst many not so bright ones. But I think there's been an evolution that we've seen. So Bridget and I, we want to talk through that evolution.
Yeah.
And take us back to the beginning.
I mean, in the beginning, I think a lot of smart people, myself included, had a lot of hope for Ivanka. We thought that, you know, I think that there was this early narrative that Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump were sort of the, like, smart millennials in the White House, that, like, they were going to be the ones that, like, you know,
save us, Ivanka.
Save us and, like, you know, temper their father's administration with a little bit of common sense and a little bit of, you know, savviness. And I think that...
And, I mean, she clearly has her father's respect.
Correct. And, like,
in a way,
like,
that many women do not.
People, I think that, like, that's something that, in a lot of the research that I found for this episode, that, like, it's commonplace, apparently, for Ivanka to be in a meeting with White House officials and be like, I need 5 minutes alone with my father. And, like...
She has serious power in the White House.
And Trump is not someone who is, like, historically takes criticism and, like, it's difficult to change his mind, I guess is what I'm saying. And she clearly has the ability to, like...
She has his ear.
She has his ear in a way that I think a lot of White House officials do not.
Yeah, and I think that's historically been true. And she's been going to the mat for him her whole life, right? She's been, like, defending her father on the campaign trail. Like, they've put her up as a prop. They've used her strategically to speak to women on behalf of Donald Trump.
Right.
And for the 50% almost of white women who voted for Trump,
yeah, so
it seems to be working.
It clearly worked. I was actually at the Republican National Convention when she gave her talk. So I was in the audience. Let me tell you, that was I could do a whole episode on the weirdness of being a super lefty black woman with natural hair at the RNC.
Oh, man.
We could do an episode on, like, well-meaning, but, like, low-key messed up stuff people said to me, like,
what?
Throughout the entire, like,
any highlights?
Probably some, the weirdest thing someone asked me was, are your parents still married? And this is a total non sequitur.
Were you, like, interviewing?
No, we were just, like, sitting at a table.
Oh, my God. Good for you, Bridget.
Are your parents still married?
That's, like, a nice...
Yeah, so it was a lot of, like...
Wow.
It was a lot of, like, trying to be complimentary, but actually being, like, really offensive.
What do we call that again?
Benevolent.
Benevolent.
Yeah, it was
racism.
Yeah, it was an interesting scene. But so I saw her
speech was revolutionary.
Her speech was revolutionary.
So
I do feel like I need to shout this out. And so, like, her speech, she did lift up a lot of women's issues that had never been talked about at the Republican National Convention before.
Or on the Republican platform.
Right. And so I do think that, like, that is something, you know, worth noting. Whether or not that's going to be a meaningful investment that the administration makes, I would argue probably not,
TBD.
I guess, TBD.
Well, yeah, but I mean, this is part of the reason there was so much hope around her initially.
I think so. And I think, like, in a lot of the research I did, what so kind of, like, jumps out at me is how good basically all the Trumps are, but particularly Ivanka and Donald, they're so good at branding. And so if you want to brand yourself as someone who is, like, a champion for women, talk about, you know, maternity care and child care and equal pay on a stage while you're making a flashy speech, but then, like, do nothing
whatever
about
the hell
it.
You want.
Yeah, like,
right.
Really. And so, like.
So what is, tell us about her speech. What,
so her
what did
speech,
she get into?
So she gets into equal pay. So she says, so imagine me as Ivanka Trump. this has long been the philosophy at the Trump Organization. At my father's company, there are more female than male executives. Women are paid equally for the work that we do. And when a woman becomes a mother, she is supported, not shut out. Women represent 46% of the total U.S. labor force, and 40% of the American households have female primary breadwinners. In 2014, women made 83 cents for every dollar that a man made. Single women without children earned 94 cents for each dollar earned by a man, whereas married mothers made only 77 cents.
And just to, like, interrupt for a second,
yeah.
The fact that she gets on the stage at the RNC and talks candidly about the existence of a gender pay gap, which many Republicans still think is not a real thing, was pretty extraordinary. Some might even call it radical for a Trump.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, so this is, like, kudos to her for that, like.
I wouldn't go that far.
I mean, yeah, for that branding win. So,
right,
like, whether
right.
or not it's real, it worked in terms of sort of, like highlighting that as something that she wants to be sort of known for.
Right.
So she goes on and she says, as president, my father will change the labor laws that were put into place at a time where women were not a significant portion of the workforce, and he will focus on making quality child care affordable and accessible for all.
Like, what?
Yeah, that's
I mean,
huge.
I'm down with that,
yeah.
Right? Can we make that happen?
We should make that happen, and if that's something that Ivanka Trump is meaningfully invested in doing, then, like, you know, I could be down for that.
Yeah.
So then she says, as a mother myself of three young children, I know how hard it is to work while raising a family. Pause. She probably doesn't know how hard it is. I mean,
eye roll.
She probably does, but, like, not.
No, her nanny knows how
yeah,
hard
like,
it is.
Yeah, like, I'm sure she has a team of people. Like, come on. So she says,
well, she checks her privilege here. She goes, and I also know that I'm far more fortunate than most.
You think? And again, I genuinely do think this was, like, a great thing for her to say.
Yeah.
But it does, like, fall into so much of what I feel like Ivanka Trump, like, her blind spots. Like, there's this famous anecdote that she has around starting a lemonade stand living at Trump Tower. And she's like,
yeah.
Oh, we wanted to have this lemonade stand, but because we lived in, like, a mansion or whatever, there was no one to buy lemonade. Oh, poor us. And
aww.
So luckily the staff was there and we had our drivers and nurses and nannies and cooks buy lemonade and it was great.
Are you kidding
And it's
me?
Like, she fails to see how that, like, I'm sure she thinks of that as a charming anecdote,
right.
But, like, she fails to see how it kind of cements her
troubling.
As, like, someone who is, like, not like us, right?
Right.
Like, not like not like normal working women.
Right.
Right. So.
But I think what she's saying here does have some merit, right? She goes on to say, American families need relief. Policies that allow women with children to thrive should not be novelties. They should be the norm.
I agree with that.
Politicians talk about wage equality, but my father has made it a practice at his company throughout his entire career. What she's alluding to, without saying explicitly, is that her father has a record of treating women equally and fairly, and that he believes in workplace policies that would level the playing field. This is some serious Orwellian 1984-esque doublespeak in action. Like, you might call it good branding, but I think what has been so troubling is seeing someone paint this kind of a picture on the RNC stage, and then just a little bit of journalism is required to see how far from reality that actually is in her company. Listen, and I think it's fair to say, like, we probably shouldn't hold her accountable for the way that her father has run his company. Although, to be fair, isn't she like part of the blind, not so blind trust that's, like, running it right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's the reason why this is confusing and why we're grappling with it is because they've made it purposefully confusing and difficult to sort out. So it's
right.
like, you don't really know, like, who's running what in terms of their companies. Like,
right.
I think it's by design that
right.
it's, like, not clear. And so I think it's interesting that you bring up her her like lifestyle brand because
let's talk about that, shall we? Women Who Work is what it's called.
Yeah.
And I had just started Bossed Up when Ivanka Trump's Women Who Work campaign came out. I cannot tell you how many people sent it to me like it was something I would enjoy. They were like, check it out. You're like totally in the zeitgeist, you know, like you and Ivanka. And I'm like, no. Like, is she going to do something substantive to help women who work? The answer was a resounding no from my observations. But what is her brand all about? What
so
is
her
that?
Brand yeah. is all about sort of supporting working women. And I kind of cannot sort of stress this enough. It's this, it's in this way. And again, like I'm mindful of the fact that I'm not trying to tear her down individually because I don't know her, but if she wants to come on the show, I would love to have her. But, you know, when you look at her actual brand, it's this kind of like, yay, girl power. Working women are great. Like, you know, it's a celebration of a certain kind of working women. And for me, feminism is not feminism if it doesn't kind of lift up women who are not like rich white ladies Ivanka Trump is. And it seems like her brand is really tailored to a specific kind of woman's experience.
And to be fair, she was already making clothing.
Right.
There's a lot of speculation out there that she just launched Women Who Work so that she could capitalize on the popularity of feminism brought on by, you know, at the time, Lean In was the number one selling book. We could talk about Sheryl Sandberg and Ivanka Trump and their commonalities there.
And what's interesting is in the research I found, she was actually trying to pitch a podcast. Did you come across this? She would talk to folks like Sheryl Sandberg and other like successful female entrepreneurs.
Oh, how dare
and
she?
That, I know.
Just kidding. What a great idea, actually.
And that podcast never materialized.
It's hard to control the message when you're just riffing with your gal pals.
It is. It totally is.
So I feel like that's not tight enough of a medium for her, right? Like she might say something. I'm sure the comms shop at the White House
was like, no dice. Yeah. And so what I find fascinating is some of the folks who have actually worked on the Women Who Work campaign have reported horror stories. And really, it points out this kind of hypocrisy that I think might be inherent in the brand. So,
well, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk through how all the high hopes that we might have had for Ivanka's ability to be a calming influence on her father, or even, dare I say, a feminist influence in the Trump administration, has become less and less of a hope that you can really hold on to because of all the hypocrisy behind not what Ivanka says, but behind what Ivanka does. We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
And we're back, and we're talking about Ivanka Trump's company or / lifestyle brand. And I want to peel the layers back a little bit here. We've heard all the great things she said on the stage at the Republican National Committee, and I was right there, tweeting along and cheering along.
And I have to say, as someone who was there,
what did it feel like?
After speech of like hateful awful, terrible stuff being said. Yeah. Like, probably my personal low moment was a black mega church preacher leading
him.
A chant of All Lives Matter. I, like, turned into a little puff of dust and, like, blew away into the wind.
Yeah, that's a soul crusher.
Also, that was, like, a scary moment where I was like, oh, God. Like, people stood up in the chairs and were shouting All Lives Matter. And I was like, oh, okay, this might get a little dicey.
I can see how Ivanka would be a refreshing alternative.
So when Ivanka came on
You're
stage,
like, yes,
I was like, thank God. Yeah. Like, someone who is, like, not spewing, like, awfulness.
Right. Well, that's the thing, is that what she says sounds really good. But let's look at what happens when you happen to be a woman who works at Women Who Work.
The women who work at Women of Work. Women. It's a tongue twister.
It is a bit of one. But you know what we're trying to say here. So what are the policies that she has at her own company? And how does that correlate, relate, or not to what she said on the stage there?
So one thing to know is that she does not seem to have a great track record of supporting working women at her own organizations and the organizations that she works with. So, you know, one of the things that she talked about at the RNC was maternity care. And so Marissa Kraxberger, I think I'm saying that right. If I'm saying that wrong,
what
I'm sorry,
cool
Marissa.
Name.
It is a cool last name. She was a former executive who worked on the Women Who Work campaign, and she's been very vocal about the fact that, like, she found it, I think that she doesn't call it flat out hypocrisy, but she's like, oh, I find it surprising that Ivanka Trump is, like, making sort of gender equality issues her platform, considering what it was like to work there. She was quoted as saying,
and this is Ivanka, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Kraxberger becomes pregnant while working for Trump, right?
Right, and that she says, you know, we don't have any maternity care, and that when she asked Ivanka Trump about she was like, well, you know, I went right back to work after the week after having my kid, so.
It's just not something I'm used to. And you're just like, what?
And
like,
again, I mean,
what?
It's infuriating. And also, I think it really comes back to something I know I've said a million times, but when folks like Marissa Meyer talk about, like, going back to work, it's her choice, so I am not shaming her at all for going back to work, because do what you gotta do, like, no judgment, no shame. But to pretend that, like, your life is similar to the life of someone who is not mega rich, mega powerful, whatever, and that your choice to go back to work that same week or the week later is on par with the choice of, like, one of your staffs. I think that's really disingenuous.
It's just like, to me, it's just like the conversation around pro-choice, pro-life, which is, there's a difference between making your own choice for your own body and projecting your choice as the only one that would be right for anyone to ever make about their situation.
Correct.
So when we say, hey, I went back to work in a week after having delivered my kid because I had a nanny and whatever, or because I'm that devoted to my job, that's fine. But does that mean you have to project your values and your choices on everyone else? Do you think everyone has the same ability to do that or should?
Right. And it's like, and I something that, and this maybe sounds a bit strange, but this was something that I feel like was driven home to me when we talked about Serena Williams, you know, being a badass tennis player while pregnant. Like, to expect that, like Serena Williams probably wouldn't be like, oh, well, I could do this while pregnant. Why doesn't everyone else? Right. Like,
She didn't say that.
Right. Like, she probably, like, yeah. And it's like the idea that we should be basing.
Serena did it, so you should be able to
do it.
Right.
Like, we shouldn't be basing these choices on, like, what some women are able to do or not do. Like, this doesn't make sense.
So, notably, they did change their policy, right? Like, with the advocacy of the Women Who Work at Women Who Work, they were able to make changes and put in place a policy for 2-month paid family leave, which is commendable.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's inspiring for women out there who are listening, who are pregnant in a small business or a startup environment that just hasn't figured that out yet, hasn't made it a priority.
And, like, I think that's common for, like, startup environments.
I mean, you have to push hard.
Yeah.
And you have very little safety net. And, like, they could just say no. But I think this is a model of what individual advocacy can do when there is a lack of a social safety net in place to make, you know, collective advocacy a thing.
Totally.
So when we don't have policies in place nationally, it really falls on us as individuals to advocate for what we need personally, which kind of sucks because that's way harder and it requires a lot of privilege.
It is hard. But I also love, kind of going off of Marissa's point, so she was obviously, like, was surprised that, you know, she was working with Ivanka and didn't get maternity leave. But she also just, like, doesn't seem to be that thrilled about the place where Ivanka took the Women Who Work campaign in general. Like, it sounds like the Women Who Work campaign was something that the people who worked on it were really, really proud of.
Passionate about,
and that
yeah.
they kind of thought that Ivanka kind of made the brand all about her. So this is a quote that Kraxberger posted on Facebook. She says, "The company and the Women Who Work platform we created was meant to inspire and encourage women to work at all aspects of their lives right. and live the lives they wanted to live. But before our very eyes, Ivanka took the platform and made it all about herself. And now it's being dragged alongside this man who could potentially be the face of the country." And this was back during the campaign.
This is why it's really important to actually not be had by companies who are taking whatever they're selling and turning it into a feminist revolution. Like, you have, like, there are lots of ways to quote unquote empower women. There are lots of choices you make as a business owner that I've had to make, which is like, how much of my personal brand should be central to the Bossed Up brand? Those are questions that how you answer them reflects your values. And you gotta be really vigilant about not just supporting brands, but also working for companies that share your values. Because it sounds like what happened is these folks working on Women Who Work were bought into the premise, but the way it was executed diverged from their values that they thought they shared.
Totally. And I think that's exactly it, right? That, like, not every company, organization, person who sells feminism as like a good thing is really doing it with their hearts in the right place. And I love, love, love this quote from Michelle Goldberg in Slate as a review of, it's a really, like, if you're looking to, like, for a good read, it is a read, like, in the sense of the word. She says, "This book is not about policy or navigating the minefield of male-dominated corporate culture. Much of it is a celebration of the unlimited possibilities open to working women when they have full-time household help. At one point, Ivanka describes how much she valued having a standing Wednesday lunch date with her daughter before she started kindergarten. She came into the office. She prefers my pink Ivanka Trump office to my real estate one, in part because it has a kid's desk that folds out of the wall, complete with treats, toys, colored pencils, and markers," she writes. "Of course, toddlers don't just, quote, swing by the office. Someone has to bring them. If you're able to hire that person, you've got a major problem facing most working parents licked."
Right.
So, again, so, it's these anecdotes. Yeah.
Well, and it's what's funny is I've noticed this as an entrepreneur, that a lot of brands have become focused on a personal brand.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Sheryl Sandberg did with Lean In. Like, there's a limit to your personal narrative being applicable to everyone else's narrative and everyone else's story and the sort of public narrative. And we have to be careful about that. But what people want to read is an individual story.
Right.
So, like, if you're not checking your privilege when you're writing your own story, which is something that you and I do, Bridget, quite a lot.
And it is hard.
It's really hard to do. It's easy to fall into those blind spots. But it's important to note that Women Who Work, the brand, the lifestyle company, did turn into Ivanka's book, Women
right.
Who Work, which is what you were just
yes, yes. I don't know that
about.
I made that clear. Yeah.
Well, I think it's good to note, because holy mackerel, you got to read the reviews of this book, because it is crazy how much people are sort of stomping all over it.
Yeah, and
it's a little egregious, I think.
In what way? Say more about that.
I think it's maybe I'm just sensitive because I'm someone who writes publicly and knows what it's like to get things wrong and be trashed for getting them wrong. Not that that happens very often, right, B? But I think there were rightful critiques here, a lot of them, including all the quotes that she took out of context, and the book is basically vapid. And I think that's accurate.
What are some of the quotes that were taken out of context for this book?
Well, the most important one, I thought, was just jaw-droppingly ignorant, wasn't it Toni Morrison's
yeah.
quote from Beloved, which is a really important read.
I feel like when Toni Morrison wrote Beloved, she had women like Ivanka Trump. I mean, I feel like it's like those are the kind of women she was writing
about.
They
were speaking to each other. Exactly. So the quote from Toni Morrison was, "Bit by bit, she had reclaimed herself. Freeing yourself was one thing, claiming ownership of that freed self was another." And in that, she's talking about, like, some serious trauma that the main character of Beloved, not to give any spoilers away, had, like, recovered from, that have a lot to do with indentured servitude and rape. And am I not, like, calling that correctly? Yeah, I mean, like, really horrific things that Toni Morrison's character, and oh wait, based on her own life story,
yeah,
had experienced and gone through, and it's an amazing read. You should pick it up if you haven't read it already. But here's the age of Pinterest taking quotes out of context as, like, all about the inspirational quote. And I love a good inspirational quote.
I hate inspirational quotes.
They're so good for the internet, though. I mean, they get likes. That's the thing to
think
about.
They get likes, but I'm always like, oh, brother.
Grown. I know. People love our Monday Motivation stuff more than almost anything we do at Basta. They love Monday Motivation tiles. Anyway, however, what does she do? She equates busyness with slavery in the way that she takes that quote out of context. So Morrison's words here, this is a great piece in HuffPo by Priscilla Frank, who breaks it down and says, Toni Morrison's words reflect the experience of liberation after being the literal property of another human being. Trump updates the phrase to address the modern dilemma of spending too much time on one's phone.
It's the same thing, am I right?
Are you a slave to your time or the master of it? Trump asks, seriously using the words slave and master while quoting Toni Morrison to talk about time management.
That is disgusting.
So if you are in the personal and professional development space, this is a good example of how to do it wrong. And this is what I'm paranoid of myself making a mistake on that front. So this is why I creepily relate to this, because when you are in the business of empowerment, you can swing and miss so hard. Sometimes
right.
You just swing your, like, you hit yourself in the face with a bat. And
This is a swing and a miss.
Yeah.
So I really want to talk a little bit about how folks are responding to Ivanka. And I think that we should do that after a quick break from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
So we were just talking about some of the ways that folks have been responding to Ivanka Trump and her, you know, particular brand of feminism. And I think it's interesting because I always feel like women are smart. Women are savvy. Women know when someone is, like, faking the feminist funk, right? Like, you can't fake feminist bona fides. You can brand yourself all you want, but people know. And so I think that that's one of the reasons why you see women responding to her in such a visceral, negative way.
Mm.
I find it really funny that
The book especially really became, like, a symbol of hate for Ivanka. And I hate to use that word because it's a strong one, but people, I think, are, women are frustrated, understandably. Women are under attack, as we've discussed many times on this podcast. And it's an easy way to sort of express your anger and frustration via this book. So what are we seeing people on Instagram do?
So people on Instagram and on Twitter are taking pictures of her books. I can't imagine that this is actually, like, where the book has been placed at bookstores. But, like, it'll be a picture of her book placed at a Barnes & Noble next to, like, the book Trust Me, I'm Lying, or a book on, like, famous political cover-ups and scandals.
Right.
And so it's, like, clearly people are gleefully, you know, posting these pictures. And again, I mean, like, I think the reason why you see, why you've seen her book launch and her, you know, campaigns really be hijacked by people who don't like her and are using her own campaign to express that frustration, it's because people are responding to the fact that, like, her brand comes off as very hypocritical.
And for me, I was sort of like, well, duh. Like, are we surprised by this? I remember being momentarily optimistic back in 2013 when Women Who Work first came out. They put out a really beautiful video with a bunch of female entrepreneurs, some of whom I really admire, who I wonder right now if they regret sort of making a cameo in Ivanka Trump's Women Who Work campaign. But, you know, women whose businesses I certainly admire, I was, like, very quickly disillusioned when she started hawking $300 or $150 bracelets and said, this is what feminism is. You know what I mean? Ugh. Like, duh, of course this was going to be hypocritical, disappointing, and vapid. What else did you expect? So were you surprised by the outright anger that people are showing on social media?
No, I mean, I think it's interesting how Ivanka has kind of become a symbol of that anger.
Like,
Like here in DC, this is something that's been happening that's kind of interesting, is folks have been taking to gathering on the lawns or in the neighborhood of, like, Trump administration officials. And so she was a target of one of those where, a lot of queer activists in DC went to her actual house and, had a big queer dance party on her front lawn.
I saw that. That was hilarious.
Yeah.
Actually.
Also, spawned, I think, the best meme of
the
all
neighbor.
Time. The neighbor wearing her fur and drinking a glass of wine and just looking, like, very much like, like,
oh man.
Shout out to that lady. If you're listening, please come
we
on the show.
You.
Friend of the show, like, please come on.
Well, it's also, I mean, here's the thing, is that I do have one issue with making Ivanka a target in this way. And Lord knows I have been very clear about my feelings about her. But why do we hold Ivanka to a higher standard than all the dudes who have power in the administration? The reason is we expect more from her.
Right.
Because she's, first of all, been public about making women's issues her priority, and then hasn't. But, like, we don't give as much grief to Steve Bannon, who clearly is, like, not going to be a champion for women's issues
in
the White House.
And never...
Never was.
Right.
So really, it's just expectations not meeting reality.
I think that's a good point. I mean, I also think it, like, I've been very clear on the show about sort of the attacks, the blatant attacks the Trump administration has taken against women, working women, poor women, women globally, all the women, right? Like, and part of me is like, is it fair to hold Ivanka accountable for the policy and legislative decisions of the entire Trump administration, whether or not those are issues that, like, she worked on? Because, like, I couldn't tell you if she worked on the Obamacare repeal bill, but, like, that bill hurts women. And so it's like, where do we draw the line of, like, is it fair to hold her accountable in a way that's like, hey, you know, you said that you got on a stage and promised to be a champion of women, and yet you let this administration put out legislation that endangers women, so which is it?
Right. And that, to me, is the big question that I'm left asking after looking into all this stuff, especially, which is, who is Ivanka working on behalf of? Okay. She has a very unclear, unprecedented role in the West Wing, right? There were conversations around her replacing Melania as the first woman, or what is it called?
First lady.
That's the one. As FLOTUS.
First woman.
But she's like the first daughter. FIDOTUS? I don't like that.
But I don't like it either.
But maybe it's fitting. So the question is, and I think New York Magazine had a really great, incisive Instagram post most recently that depicted her as Rosie the Riveter, which I found very interesting.
Because when I think about Rosie the Riveter, again, I think about Ivanka Trump.
Right.
It's so common.
And in it, they ask, like, who is America's first princess working for? Right. They say she continually tells people that she's still, quote, learning how Washington works. But this isn't seventh grade civics. It's the West Wing of the White House, where she seems to have some incalculable amount of power. And we're protecting the Trump brand and her father's legacy, which will surely affect in turn the value of the Trump brand in future decades, seems as important to her as working in the nation's service.
I could not agree more.
So she's there as a brand professional,
yeah,
working to make sure that the brand value and the equity of her company, which is her father's company,
right,
retains its value, which, by the way, they're having some trouble there, but that's a different episode. So this is not what governing is.
No,
this is not what governance looks like.
What's so interesting about that is that when she, that very same thing came up at Ivanka's very first, like, international event representing America. And, you know, she was very much grilled in Berlin at this summit alongside Angela Merkel. And, you know, they were like, so what's your role? Like, first daughter, like, what is that? And she gave that same line of like, well, I'm still sort of figuring out what that means.
Oh,
like, I'll figure it out.
That, like, chuckle, demure smile.
Yeah. And what's funny is that people were
it's not endearing,
and people were so not did not find that endearing in such a big way that they booed her and hissed her. And it's like, yeah, people know when you're not authentic, and like, sorry, homie, but it sounds like you're not authentic, and people are responding to that.
Yeah. I love this article in New York Magazine. She says, they end with, and so at this moment, Ivanka Trump is quivering on the precipice of two related but distinct identities. On the one hand, she's rapidly crossing the border that separates simple fame from its platinum club. She's on the verge of becoming an international lifestyle celebrity of an order not seen since the high days of Princess Diana. She regularly shares the photogenic details of her, quote, curated life. Curated being an important word to her, along with connectivity, her beautiful children and attractive husband on rich display in the beautiful houses in which they spend their time. So she's like expanding her personal global brand right now.
On the backs of hardworking American women.
Right. But on the other hand, this sort of role that they're comparing her to in this article is saying she's becoming something she has never been in her life. Deeply, personally, and venomously loathed.
Oh, I love, I mean,
it's true.
There are these articles in local DC presses about like protesters, you know, getting in her face while she's like getting a blowout and like at SoulCycle around DC, right?
Like, and at Starbucks, like people are projecting all their hate on her. And I get where that's coming from, but it's like, that's what she's going to get, first of all. You get when you're this big of a
hypocrite.
And
I feel you. Like, I'm sensing in what you're saying is that, like, part of it is like, oh, wow, like, people viscerally hate her. And I definitely, like, part of me feels for her. But another part of me says this.
Right.
She made a choice. She could have very easily said, you know, I love my dad. I support what he's doing. Like, she didn't have to get herself so involved.
Like Tiffany.
Tiffany Trump's not, like, out there.
No, we've got, like, there's a deeper story that I spent a lot of time on the web, like, Googling behind Tiffany Trump.
Oh, Lord. That's another episode.
That's a whole
TBD. But yeah, I mean, like,
Tiffany, come on a show.
Yeah, we would love to have you.
She's
going to Georgetown.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You might see her around.
I think she's pretty cool.
We should show her the DC sites.
Yeah, we should. So anybody who knows Tiffany, give her a holler for us.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I always remind myself that she didn't have to embed herself in her father's administration.
Husband.
Yeah, like she made a choice. And, you know, I'm someone who, like, if you're the child, like, a friend of mine is the grandchild of a very well-known Republican politician. And, you know, it's like, you don't, like, I don't think that the grown children of politicians should be, you know,
dragged
into this. But if you make the choice to enter it, you get what you get. And, like, this is part of it. And, like, I feel for her, but, like, you made the choice. And, like, you gotta deal with it.
We're watching, Ivanka. I think the big question here is, what will you do? Will you live up to the campaign stuff that was floated there for an unprecedented, like, statement around Republicans actually caring about working women? Will women who work actually end up liking you, Ivanka? The options are yours, right? You have unprecedented power. You have unprecedented access. So what are you going to do with that?
Yeah. And
I want to know, where will Ivanka Trump be putting her social and political capital?
And honestly, like, I am someone who, like, if Ivanka Trump turned it all around, I would be like, get it, girl. Like,
yeah.
I would be on her side. Like,
I would.
Yeah. And so I think that she should really use this as a challenge to do that.
So far, I'm jaded and disappointed.
Yeah. Honestly, I just want to know what y'all think about Ivanka Trump. I'm very curious. I mean, I know she's a divisive figure, and like, maybe y'all like her. Like, I used to kind of like her before.
Ditto.
Yeah, like I loved her when she would be on Shark Tank.
Ooh, I miss that.
Yeah, she was Shark Tank, right?
I don't know. Probs.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, and I had a couple of pairs of her shoes. I used to like her. So I'm really curious what y'all think about Ivanka Trump. Yeah. So please let us know. You can hit us up on Instagram at Stuff Mom Never Told You.
Send us your Ivanka Trump book photos.
Yeah,
or
I want to see all the pictures. Tag us. You can tweet at us at MomStuffPodcast or hit us up on email, old-fashioned style, MomStuff@HowStuffWorks.com.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. Tennessee just sounds perfect, whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.